Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Monday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and do I have an amazing show for you today? This show is so amazing. I can't wait to tell you about the guests. But before I do that, go ahead and share the show because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. We've been sharing information. One of the things that I learned about is some of the grants that are available. Facebook is giving away business grants to business owners, as well as Hello Alice. So visit helloalice.com, or you may have to do a Google for Facebook business grants and go ahead and get you some money. But these are some of the tips that our guests have shared on last week's show. So let me go ahead and introduce today's guest. Our first guest is Laura Spaulding. She is the founder of the fastest growing franchise specializing in crime scene cleanup. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Crime scene cleanup as a franchise.
Yep. Along with a few other things, but we're most known for the crime scene cleanup.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I want to introduce our next guest. Our next guest is Valerie Friedlander. She's a certified professional coach as well as an energy leadership master practitioner. Good morning, Valerie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yes, we're going to talk a little bit about energy leadership masters, practitioners, a whole lot on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. Our next guest is Dr. Benjamin Ritter. Dr. Ritter is the founder of Love Yourself Consulting. I messed it up. I can't even edit my own show. Dr. Ritter, help us out.
Yeah, it's Live For Yourself Consulting. Or if you don't want to say that whole phrase, LFY Consulting.
LFY is right there in the background. I've been staring at it all morning and I'm still messing it up. Live For Yourself Consulting. That means
you can love yourself too, by the way. I don't mind. Everyone should love themselves. That's
it
all
helps
good
with
me.
Living for yourself, right?
Yeah, I think that's totally part of it. I think you were just kind of already digging deep into the layers there.
Yes, it was something. I think it was the coffee or something this morning. I think it's Monday, the energy. I've been awake for about 8 hours. So I don't know what it is, but I think we're going to have to give Live For Yourself Consulting some more airtime because I'm just messing it up this morning, Dr. Ritter.
I think that was a great lead-in, by the way. I think it was probably the energy in the room. So I'm looking forward to further conversation.
You look like it. I like your background. But we're going to move over to Lucas Root. Lucas is a speaker, entrepreneur, and business success mentor. Good morning, Lucas. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Sharifa.
You are so welcome. What do you have going on in the background?
So when the Zoom videos started getting really popular, I downloaded some backgrounds, and this one's been the favorite. It's a picture from Northern Ireland called The Dark Hedges. And if I move sideways a little bit, you can see that it's a road.
Can you stay like that the whole show?
I could, but I think it'd probably mess my back up a little.
No, we don't want to do that because I just, you know, sometimes I just vision just running away with everything going on in the world. I'm like looking for a little path. So let me ask you, since you can change your Zoom backgrounds, how much energy and effort does it take to change them out?
Nothing. Couple clicks here.
Okay. Can we see some more?
Yeah. Here's another one that I use often. This is one of the biggest trees in the world. It takes up like the entire square. I think it's in Malaysia somewhere. And then this one, if I want some bright colors.
Ooh. Loving like the them. Greenery and the different colors.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I love them. Do you have any Ash Sharifa backdrops?
You know, I don't know. Does this count?
I'm kind of confused. I don't know what that had to do with Ash Sharifa, but I wanted a drink, I guess, when I saw it. Let me move on. Let me introduce our next guest, Karen Donaldson. She is a celebrity communication and confidence coach, as well as a number one best-selling author. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to some great conversation.
I love your background. The eyelashes, especially, everything just looks so angelic, so soft.
You know, it's so funny. Thank you for that comment, but I'm such a rebel. I'm a rebel. I'm so untraditional, but thank you. You know, I love the fluff.
But you know what? I can see the rebel in you, but I also see that you're, you know, there's one of my favorite expressions that Dolly Parton said. Dolly Parton said that when she meets people, people just think she's a dumb blonde. And by the time they figure out how intelligent she is, she's taken all their money and gone. And I'm like, wow. And it's like, you may consider yourself a rebel, but you, I can just tell you probably come in so sweetly, so nicely. And you're like, oh my gosh, you just changed our world. And we didn't even see her coming.
That's exactly what it is. You know, it's funny. I work with a lot of men and I know you'll ask us a bunch of questions and that's what they see. They're like, oh my goodness, they sent another one. And when I get started, everyone's at attention.
I can imagine. I can definitely see that. Now, I want to go back over to Dr. Ritter for a minute because I owe Dr. Ritter some airtime. So we're going to start with Dr. Ritter. Tell us, one of the things that we've been talking about and one of the reasons this show was important to me is that there are a lot of people, especially business owners, who are having a tough time right now. They're really going through it. And one of the things that they expressed to me, they said, Sharifa, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to make it through this time. So we want to learn from other people who are going through it. So can you tell us, Dr. Ritter, a little bit about your business, some of the things that you learned or any tips or strategies that you can offer to our listeners?
Yeah, sir. I mean, to that point specifically, I'd say this is not a time to keep things to yourself. I mean, I host a variety of virtual events. They used to be in person, but it's about bringing people together and having real conversations, not like, how are you doing? Which can actually be a really good question right now, but digging into those layers into, you know, into really specific ideas and concepts and events that are going on. Greatest suggestion to a business owner right now is to actually have those lines of communication, have those types of conversations with your actual employees, with not just other business owners. Don't just search for answers outside of your organization. I'd actually, the first step, take a real hard look at what's going on in your organization, have an open door policy where people can, you know, really communicate how they're feeling, what's going on, because this is a huge adjustment right now. You know, people may say, you know, even if people have been working from home, you know, before this is still like more people are now home. We are now stuck at home, and our days really lack the structure that they used to. So people aren't really getting, like, their souls and their energy aren't really getting filled the way they used to. Like, they can't do the same types of things that fill them up. And so now this is a really great opportunity, and I'll just say it again, to have real, honest, open conversations with the people closest to you that are working for you each and every day, that are responsible for the success of your business.
Tell us about live for yourself. What is live for yourself?
Well, sometimes people think that it's just about being selfish, and it's not at all. Living for yourself really just truly starts at knowing who you are. Knowing what your values are, knowing what's important, knowing what you stand for, what your stories are, and also your goals, what you're working towards. If you know that, if you have that sense of clarity, that leads to a greater sense of personal confidence, which then you can actually start building towards the things that you truly care about. So you're not too worried about what other people think. You don't really have a large amount of imposter syndrome. Your inner critic is doesn't have the microphone anymore if you have that level of clarity. And once you have that level of confidence, you actually can be more intentional. So your everyday emotions, like the emotions of what's going on right now, aren't going to hold you back from continually like to make progress towards the things that you care about and the things that you stand for. So it really is just about knowing who you are and implementing that in your life, taking action towards it.
Those are definitely words to live by. But what made you decide to create a business around the whole live for yourself philosophy?
Yeah, so I have a background in organizational leadership, in entrepreneurship, and coaching, and healthcare. And back at the last, I think, major recession in like between 2000 and like, you know, around 2008, 2012, so 2010 was where I was kind of struggling to find my career, you know, and I couldn't really find anything. And I had a bunch of side hustles going on in terms of coaching. I was really focusing on other businesses in terms of entrepreneurship, and I kind of ended up getting a job in healthcare. You know, fast forward 6.5 years, I was working in a position that I didn't truly set out to do. And at the end of that was feeling resentful, was feeling a lack of engagement, a lack of job satisfaction, and was actually holding my employer accountable for that lack of meaning. So it was a huge amount of resentment, pulling back, not really volunteering for things I cared about, not investing in relationships. And I remember one day just kind of walking to work, because I could walk to work. It was that good of a job that I was so resentful towards. And feeling down, not wanting to go in, and looking around at everyone else's faces that were walking by me. And it looked like everyone else was feeling this, like the same way. And I took that made me take a really hard look. It was almost like an epiphany moment, you know, to say, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? How did I get here? And what do I truly care about? And how can I take action to get to where I want to go? And initially it was just leadership development, professional development. And I tried a variety of different ways to incorporate that type of work into my life. And the path of least resistance was actually starting my own business. You know, I tried crafting my current job. I tried looking for new jobs. And what really took off was focusing on helping other people create a career that they can love. And so this is about 3.5 years ago, and I've been able to travel the United States, speaking at corporate events, really trying to empower employees and develop leaders, as well as working with individuals to help them either launch their businesses, pivot into a career that is more value aligned, or just navigate their current position. Because honestly, like, no one can give anyone meaning. No one can give anyone happiness at work. Those are internal emotions. And if we just change our perception, you know, gain some greater levels of clarity, develop that level of confidence, then take some action and develop that self-control, we can create that for ourselves.
No, that's interesting, because the people who know me know that I'm always talking about how much I love myself. I tell people all the time, I love me. I'm my favorite person. But with saying that, I tell people I'm spoiled. I'm not selfish, you know, and there's a big difference. I expect people to give me the world, but I'll give you the world in return. Like, I'm one of the nicest people I know. And I don't say that with any ego. Like, if somebody needs something, I'm always there. Like, let me help you. Let me take care of you. You know, so did you receive any type of response where people said, okay, you know, maybe it's wrong to live for yourself, or why are you so focused on yourself, when society teaches us more of a group thing that is not about living for ourselves, it's about living for the whole?
Yeah, I can't, you know, I can't judge anyone that wants to be selfish, or that mm-hmm. wants that, or that values, you know, that greater than, you know, doing good for the world or creating a positive social impact. I think mm-hmm. part of living for yourself is accepting other people for who they are and accepting yourself for who you are. Mm-hmm. And so I only work with people that are interested in making a positive social impact in the world and mm-hmm. have values that are similar to mine in terms of like benevolence, health, mm-hmm. freedom, openness, you know, lack of judgment, passion, mm-hmm. et cetera. But I'm not here to judge anyone else for who they are. And if that's who you are, then that's great. And if someone comes up to me and says, you know, that's just being selfish, and I'll say, let's explore that. Let's get curious about those emotions and those judgments that you have, and let's see what they actually mean for you, not for other people, not the pressures and the ideas that the world has created within you over the experiences that you've had in your life, but actually what you truly care about and what you want to create.
Lucas, you're
sorry. Thanks. What if you look at selfishness in a slightly different way? Somebody who is selfish but thoughtful will realize that the things that are good for me are also the things that are good for, theoretically, are also the things that are good for the people around me. Right? So if we unpack the word selfish a little bit and dive into that a little bit, you know, we could arrive at the perspective that being selfish isn't actually a bad thing. It's the pieces that go along with the word selfish, right? Selfish and thoughtless is horrible, but selfish and thoughtful, selfish with a long perspective, that's not bad, because I can't destroy the world around me without also damaging myself. And that ultimately would be in conflict with selfishness, right?
It's so interesting you say that, because the word selfishness is, we all define it differently. And depending on where you came from, how you were brought up, it can mean so many different things. So for a lot of people, it has this negative annotation. So, you know, as both of you are saying, it's helping people truly unpack and choose what they want for themselves. You know, something that I share with my clients all of the time, we're in the middle of a 14-day confidence challenge, and we're having this conversation around selfishness. And, you know, one thing that I always bring up, where it always comes to the forefront, is that word. And what I often say around it is, if you think about selfishness or being selfish in this manner, think about it as you owning yourself and you putting yourself first. Because when you do that, you also open up the room for everyone around you to see that it's okay for me to be myself. And it's okay for me to put myself first. So it's all about that personal definition, right? And the different areas of work that we do and just helping people unpack it. And, you know, as you said earlier, how do you define it? And what is true for you? And what is the meaning you've put behind it? And what's the story you have attached? And has that story come from when you were 10? Has it come from your first job, your last job, your current partner? So having those conversations, but that word, it's a powerful word.
I love picking apart words. That's like, you know, I get the impression that a lot of you are the same way. I'm like, what does this word actually mean to you? When you use that word, what does it mean? What does that bring up? Because so often we use words and we don't actually think about the meaning of them. And there've been studies about like words on water and how that changes the dynamics. And so often, like I work with a lot of moms. And so that idea of selfishness, but then you juxtapose that with the oxygen mask, right? Like you've got to put your own oxygen mask on first. But when you have a high value on family, that's part of your oxygen mask. So finding the balance between that, like boundaries are a big thing right now. The only way you can set boundaries is by knowing yourself. So you have to do that work first before you can set healthy boundaries that allow you to be of service to the best extent you can beyond that. So I've actually been doing a lot of looking around the idea of altruism. So on the flip side of like selfishness to altruism, and what does it actually mean to be altruistic? And because a lot of people are putting their time aside and building things, making things, being of service to others. The thing is that you have to do that in a sustainable way. And there are different forms of altruism. There's an altruism like where you self-sacrifice for the greater whole, to, you know, if you think of like the gene pool or whatever, like where you self-sacrifice for the good of the community, right? Like one for many and that sort of thing. But we don't live in a tribal society anymore. So we don't have a society to differing degrees, the nuclear family or even a strong sense of community, like those places where you would be able to put yourself aside and just be altruistic and know that you'll be taken care of in return. A lot of us don't have structures like that. And I go back to like what Dr. Ritter was saying about the idea of connecting with people. So taking it back to the entrepreneurial mode of thinking of like, this is a great time to connect to people and talk to people. Our brains are actually wired that when we're in stress, we're supposed to talk to people because that is our natural stress resilience. Your brain releases chemicals when you're in stress. Mostly we know about adrenaline and cortisol, which give you that push to get things done, put the blinders on, combat the stressor, the potential danger, the threat. But it also releases oxytocin, which is the cuddle hormone, which tells us to connect with people. And so what I see is finding that balance of how do I connect it with people in a healthy way? How do I connect with people when I can't actually connect with people? The people that I'm in the house with, if I'm in the house with people, maybe the people who push my buttons the most and my inner critic talks through the most, and finding ways to know, like if you know yourself and you take that space for yourself, then you can show up to those people and connect with people most effectively and allow them to connect with you most effectively.
I like that. One of the things that I've noticed and one of the things that we've been discussing is that one of the words that you mentioned, Valerie, is the whole altruism, right? Typically, when there's a disaster, it's not a global pandemic. It usually happens in one town or one location. And so what we do in those non-affected areas is we make a donation, we give to the Red Cross, and that makes us feel good. We feel like we've helped humanity. We've done some good in the world. But during this pandemic, being it's a global pandemic, I've seen so many people reach out on the community level to their neighbors. Like I've seen people make the post that if you need anything, I'm here, you know, going out to the elderly, say, if you need me to go to the store for you and stand in some of those lines, I'll do it for you. One of the ladies on the past show was talking about she saw someone else who printed out this letter and literally walked around the neighborhood and left it in all her neighbors' boxes. And it said, if you need anything, I'm here, just give me a call. And one of the things that she said was, she didn't receive anyone who actually needed her assistance, but she did receive phone calls from her neighbors that say, hey, you know what? We've been living here for years. We didn't know who you are, but thank you for reaching out to us. So what I've seen is a lot of people who have taken that extra step to just be good neighbors. What about you, Laura? What have you seen?
You know, I've learned a lot about not only myself, but my friends during this whole thing. I'm pretty introverted myself. So when all my extroverted friends were, you know, going crazy from being locked up and, you know, pent up, I really realized that I was literally missing nothing out of my life. Nothing has changed for me from prior to the pandemic to now. I still go to work because, you know, we're an essential business. I still do everything that I did. Other than I can't go to the gym, but I'm still working out. I'm just physically not going to the gym. So I've learned a lot about myself and also my extroverted friends on how this is affecting them. And it's affecting them much more than me.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. Now, I'm kind of like you, Laura, in that, and I think Dr. Ritter and maybe Lucas was saying the same thing. It actually may be all of us across the board. I've been working from home for years. So this is nothing new to me. I built my first website in 1994. I've been, you know, on and offline since then. I've always had an online presence in some form of fashion. So my world, to a certain extent, is pretty much the same. However, when I need to go to the store, what, you know, I have to stand in these long lines. I have to remember, you know, I go out and then I'm like, wait a minute, I need a mask to go out. So those are the things that affect me personally. But let's talk a little bit about you and what you do in your franchise, because, again, I always tell people I love what I do. I love my life. I love learning. You know, sometimes I tell people I do this show for selfish reasons. There's that key word again, because I get to learn, you know, and now I can tell other people, hey, you know what, if you're considering a franchise, let's look at this or look at this opportunity. But I wouldn't have never imagined or thought that there was a franchise such as yours.
Yeah, that makes two of us, really. You know, so I never thought that I would be franchising here, this business, much less involved in franchising in any way. I started my company really out of a necessity. Back in 2005, I was working as a police officer in the Midwest, and I was just tired of being poor. I was tired of shift work. I was tired of a glass ceiling. I was just done. So I went to get my MBA at night, and during the night, you know, I worked the evening shift and then, or the midnight shift, and then I went to school during the evening. And so it wasn't easy by any means, but it was almost a means to an end for me, because I thought, you know, I'm going to get out of law enforcement and I'm going to go into something different. I was always entrepreneurial, but I never had any funding. I was living paycheck to paycheck. You know, I think I was making about $40,000 a year at the time. I had no savings. I was 30 years old and I had a roommate. Like, you can't really get any more hard up than that, so to speak. So after I got my MBA, I realized that most of my fellow students were all kind of looking to do a startup. So it got my mind flowing. And, you know, several people had asked me on the job, you know, under the false impression that law enforcement cleaned up crime scenes. And I thought that was a weird question. But then when I thought about it, I realized I didn't even know who did it. So after I started looking into it, I realized there's no one doing it. So that means that the homeowner or property owner is on their own to clean this up, which I thought was horrible. You know, you're victimized twice, essentially. So I looked into it and I realized there was some training in Dallas, Texas at the time. This was back in 2005. I used my only little savings that I had in my 1 week vacation. And I went out there and got the training and certification. And I met two guys while I was in that training class, and they were both LPNs in the Midwest as well. And we started talking, and they were talking about how they just walked into their bank and they got a $150,000 SBA loan and it was super simple. So I come back from training all invigorated about that. And I go into my bank and I said, you know, I'm going to start a business and I want this $150,000 loan. And they're like, yeah, right. You don't make any money. You don't know what you're doing. Get out of here. So I went to three more banks and I got denied by all three or all four total. So I called my new friend back and I said, what's the deal here? And he said, I don't know. We didn't really even have to do anything. So that was when I first realized that, you know, the disparity between funding for women and minorities is extremely different. Also in business, as well as in, you know, the private sector with law enforcement. And that was my first taste that it wasn't going to be any easier doing this. So I decided to get creative and I went to a fifth bank and I lied to them. And I said, I need a home equity loan to buy new windows. And they wrote me a check for $15,000 before I left. So yeah, it was that easy. So it just told me that, you know, no, you're going to get a million no's before you get one yes. And you're just going to have to get creative to figure out what that is. And that's what I had to do. And, you know, at the time I thought this is just going to be a side gig for me. I never thought that, you know, it would grow to what it is today. You know, now in 2014, I franchised the company and we have 24 locations around the country. And, you know, we're not only doing obviously crime scene, but we do drug lab stuff, hoarding and flood restoration. And also we have a real estate component where we buy these houses and fix and flip them as well.
Do you have a location in Long Beach, California?
No, in California, I have San Francisco and Walnut Creek, but LA and San Diego are following here pretty soon.
Okay, well, I'm in Long Beach. I might need to do some crime scene cleanup or investigation or something. I'm always looking for a new project. And that sounds kind of interesting to me, especially in LA County. I don't know if y'all know this. I know some of y'all in Chicago where y'all don't have crime, but here in LA, we have a lot of crime scenes.
Yeah, I think Chicago has their fair share.
yeah, definitely. But I was in Long Beach and I had a neighbor who had a giant boa constrictor in his little apartment. So I could just see that being something at some point.
Yeah, don't call me for that.
I'll go investigate.
I don't do snakes.
Long Beach is special, but I love your confidence. And I love the confidence that you brought about going to the bank, not taking no. I know Karen works with people with confidence. And I think you mentioned like a 14-day challenge or something, if I heard you correctly, Karen.
Absolutely. Right now, it was perfect timing, not knowing that this pandemic was going to happen. You know, one of the things that I believe is that there's been this misinformation around, it's true, not even I believe, I know, there's been this big piece of misinformation around confidence. And a lot of people are trying to feel more confident. And the more people try to feel more confident, the more they'll lose. And with a 14-day confidence challenge, it's truly showing people how to redefine confidence and realize that confidence is actually not an emotion. It's an attitude and it's a behavior. And because it's a behavior, you can choose it at any given time. So it's kind of a redirection of our current thoughts, our replacement of our current beliefs about ourselves. And I've been walking people through this 14-day confidence challenge. You know, people can definitely jump on one of my websites at speakconfident.com to get more information on that. But it's true. You know, how often have we heard, you know, in all of our professions here, how often have we said to ourselves, or have we heard our clients or people around us say, you know what, I don't feel confident. I want to feel more confident. And they've been saying this for not a week. For a lot of people, it's years. For a lot of people, it's decades. It's because you can never feel confident. So when we transition and we have that conversation around, so what is confidence? And how can I show up more confidently? And what do I need to take ownership of? All of a sudden, like within this 14-day challenge, we are getting these huge results. People who, you know, fear judgment, people who feared repercussions, people who, you know, this might sound familiar to a lot of people or even people watching. Have you ever gone somewhere and you sat, whether it's a meeting with colleagues, with friends, and you know exactly what you want to say in your head, but you leave that situation without even saying that, right? How many times has that happened to us? And it's so important to realize that our voice is enough and our voice is worthy. And when we speak up, when we choose to speak up, we're connected and we're committed to the act of speaking up instead of the outcome. And see, like, that's the problem. People are attached to, okay, the what ifs and the outcome. Your only job is to be you as is and be unapologetic for it. And that's your job, to speak up because your voice is worthy. Because that outcome, we cannot dictate, and we have no control over what other people will do, say, what they'll choose, but we have full control over this and our voice. So I really help people find their voice. And, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, it's someone who's come from a bad neighborhood and whatnot. As you'll read in my bio, I often work with celebrities and CEOs. And when I get to the table, or I go and I meet them in their suite or at their office, you'll realize that their confidence level is down here, right? It's all been a show. And that self-belief that you thought or you see out there is not even true for them. So confidence is a thing. It holds people back from so many things. And the biggest thing is it holds them back from just being themselves, as is, no excuses, and knowing that I'm going to be judged. Everyone here is judging me right now. And it's true for all of us. Some are saying, I can't believe she's wearing that purple dress. Can you believe she's wearing those? It is what it is. Right, but we
love it though.
No,
I love your outfit. I was looking at it and I noticed everything, but I'm like, I love that. I love that. That's one of the things that I do in the 15 minutes prior to the show. I judge everyone, and I basically their backdrops and their lighting. You know, and I tell them, hey, you know, Lucas, you might need a little bit more light. Dr. Ritter, your screen is off a little bit. And so I look at everything and judge it to where I think, okay, all of my guests look perfect. But one of the things I wanted to key in on that you mentioned is that confidence is a feeling. Like, one of the things I always say is that there's nothing sexier than confidence. You know, you can look at somebody when they walk in a room and you don't know what it is, if it's their hair, their outfit, but it's just like this confidence that they exude. And then the other thing that you mentioned, I was having a conversation the other day with my cousin, and we were talking about how a lot of celebrities right now are doing a whole bunch of way out crazy things during the pandemic because production is shut down, you know? And so you mentioned celebrities, and a lot of my friends are celebrities, but when you're a celebrity, we have a different level of the world that's coming at us, you know? So the society and the world puts us way up here. You know, I'm the be all, the end all, I'm on the top rated show. But then next week, when your show is canceled and you can't even walk outside because people were like, ha ha, they just canceled your show, or you make a meme or you make a comment and everyone's laughing at you at social media, it really takes our confidence takes a hit that other people may not be able to understand.
You know, the nice thing, I find it a great opportunity. So the conversations that I'm having with a lot of clients right now that I've worked with is, This is you can see this as an asset, because you'll now realize that you are attached to your position. And my question to them is, I type or text them, who are you?
Yeah.
Without all of that, who are you?
Mm-hmm. What I love about all the emotions we're talking about, like you're talking, you know, with confidence as a skill, and we talked about selfishness before. I mean, all this comes down to this idea of safety, right? Do you feel safe? And I think that's even so much more important nowadays, where a lot of people don't feel safe. You know, they don't know what to expect tomorrow with everything going on in the world. They don't know what to expect with their jobs. They don't know what to expect with their families now that they're kind of cooped up in a way that they haven't before. And so how do we create a greater sense of safety for ourselves? And I'd love to hear from all you guys, maybe something that you've done for yourself or with clients to help them develop a greater sense of safety.
Well, I'll answer first. Y'all can see I like all attention on me, but I started the Roundtable Talk Show because I wasn't feeling safe just by myself. I wanted to talk to other people and get information from other people so that I could have a consensus of, this is how we feel.
That's thoughtful selfishness right there.
What did you do to feel safe, Lucas?
You know, kind of like Laura, not a lot changed for me. I did all my work from home. I work with a bunch of different businesses and a bunch of different teams all over the world. And so that hasn't changed much. I did lose a business. So that impacted, certainly that impacted my revenue, and it impacted my opportunity. And it made me a little sad to, you know, have to let go some employees and take a step back from my position in that community. And that was pretty bad. But I got to say, my businesses, the opinions of others, those aren't things that I use as part of my basic safety. And Karen, you probably have better language around this. I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about how to articulate that because that's not part of my platform. So,
right. No, you know, you're dead on when you say that's other people's opinions aren't part of what helps you to feel safe. Yeah. And a key thing I always ask people is this, is what do you believe to be true for you? And filter out what the world is telling us is true for us. What is true for you right now? And then, and having them identify what's a story and what is a truth and what is your truth? Like right here, right now, I just did a live stream for the same confidence challenge that I'm doing. And one of the questions were, you know, you determining your own happiness. And even if you don't have enough money for the mortgage, are you going to use that one piece to cloud your entire day? Or are you going to look at it as is and say, no, I don't have enough money for my mortgage coming up on May 1st. However, here are my concrete options that I can take. I can call a bank. I can ask for a deferral. I can get a loan. I can ask family and friends and leave it outside of how you feel with your family and your level of happiness. So it's really breaking off what is true for you and ensuring that it's a decision that you've made for yourself, right? So when we talk about whole, you know, creating that safety, it's what is true for you, not what we're listening to and what we're reading and hearing. And it's important, those pieces are important to stay aware, but we don't have to live in it. You know what I mean?
What I see a lot is that it comes down to a sense of control and being feeling in control. And when you've placed your value, your safety into how, what, whether you can control external things to you, then you're naturally going to feel more stressed and you're going to feel less safe. Whereas when you can identify what you actually do have control over and focus on that, that's where you're going to feel more powerful. And that's that sense of, am I powerless or am I powerful? So one of the exercises that I've had come up a lot with my clients is actually just creating a list, because our brains naturally create lists because our brains like order. Our brains like things to be like our norms, right? And we are in a space of normlessness in a lot of ways. For those of us who a lot of our norms have stayed the same, which mine have as well, except that everybody else is on top of me, which is a whole other thing. But when your norms are disrupted, it's really easy to lose a sense of self, a sense of what who you are and what your identity is, because a lot of times those norms help create subconsciously what who we believe we are. And so taking the space that we're given in this situation to really look at what is important to you and who are you, and then even just as simply as making a list consciously instead of the subconscious list of what do I have control over and what don't I have control over, and then
write it out, pen on
what I have control on. Go ahead.
Yeah, write the list out, pen on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Absolutely. Things you don't have control over, you actually can plan. What's the one thing I can do to help prevent this from occurring or to help gain greater control over this?
Yeah, a lot of times if you have more internal control and internal power, then you can more easily navigate those external things that you don't necessarily directly have control over, but you can find paths to engage them that's more powerful. But the first thing that comes is your stress response. Your brain is naturally zeroing in on the problem. It's like you put blinders on when you feel stressed. Your blinders go on and you naturally focus on the potential threat to you. So releasing that stress is going to be key to being able to think creatively and actually engage those things differently. So, and everybody releases stress most effectively in different ways. So one of the things that I've done is create a little short little quiz to help you identify your best stress release strategy. So basically like physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, what kind of strategies are going to help you release that stress best so that you can show up and engage and think creatively to engage those other things that you don't necessarily have direct control over. And so you can find that at my website, thevaleriefriedlander.com. And if you do /quiz, that'll take you to that little quiz. So, and it's free. So you just enter your information and then you'll get your results.
I'll go take that quiz momentarily. No, one of the things that you mentioned is the word creativity, and that's another buzzword, keyword. Pivot is another word business is talking about during this time frame. They have been going in one direction and all of a sudden their business pivots because of the pandemic. I want to go back over to Laura for a minute. And I've spoke to so many people who are saying, you know what, I'm out of work, I'm laid off, I have to do something different. Have you seen a rise in people looking for new opportunities, Laura, during this time?
Yeah, it's honestly been tenfold of what it normally is. So, and another thing too is, you know, we're always hiring and our labor pool has increased by a ton. So we just, you know, advertised for a position last week where we would normally probably get about 20 resumes in a week, and we got 117 in 3 days. So yeah, that tells us that there's a lot of unemployment. And, you know, people are pivoting. I think they're taking their 401ks and saying, you know what, I'm tired of being vulnerable. I can get laid off from my corporate job at any point. I'm going to do something for me. So, you know, our business is really recession proof because nothing affects it. No, it doesn't matter, you know, if the, you know, the economy is booming or it's crashing, our stuff is considered a necessity. And the services that we provide just can't really be avoided or pushed off for you know, a later date like some other stuff can. It's not a vanity thing.
Mm-hmm. And being in a franchise protects your franchisees against competition.
Yes, completely. So, you know, that's been difficult, you know, learning the franchise side of things. You know your business and you know it up and down, but once you start franchising, that is a whole different business. And I was a bit naive when I got into it back in, you know, 2015, learning everything. And I feel like I'm still learning every single day, you know, what motivates people. And I think the biggest surprise for me in franchising has been that many franchisees come in wanting to buy a system with the false thought that all I have to do is buy into the system and they're going to do everything for me. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So that's been difficult to kind of, well, hey guys, you know, you're buying into a brand that has a system set up, but you still have to work. You know, it's not, you know, you just don't sit on the couch and wait for the phone to ring. And that's, I can't believe how many people really think that that's the way franchising works.
Still a business owner when you own a franchise, like a part of a franchise.
Yeah.
In the beginning of owning a business, you basically just created your own job.
Yes.
So you actually, you have to do every single job that's related to that business, not just the one you might get hired for if you work for somebody else.
Yeah. And I find that most people that come from the corporate world are literally used to, you know, kind of going into work and doing the bare minimum to keep their jobs. And when they segregate, you know, over to franchising, they kind of still have that same work ethic and it's not going to work. You know, I work more now than I ever did when I was, you know, working a job for someone else. And it's not easy and it's not meant to be easy. That this is why, you know, business ownership is not for the weak. Not a lot of people make it past that 2-year mark. So the hardest part for me has really been, you know, diving deep into that person and finding what are their strengths and weaknesses, and do they have the ability or the desire to make sacrifices to succeed?
Even the ones that are not lazy, a lot, you know, corporate life teaches us to be hyper specialized. I mean, not just a little specialized, but hyper specialized. Mm-hmm. So even the ones that aren't lazy are coming into a franchise with that hyper specialized mentality.
Right. Well, and what you were saying, Lucas and Karen, I think you both referenced the idea of stories and rules, and like, what are your personal rules? And I find, because I work with a lot of moms who left corporate so that they could have more freedom and flexibility in their life. And what happens is they're used to being able to go into a space and go, okay, what are the rules? How do I play by the rules so that I climb the ladder and I'm successful? And when you become a business owner, they're really aren't rules. There are like some guidelines, there are suggestions, the ways you can do it. But like the really successful business owners are ones who are able to think creatively and think outside the box and not necessarily play by the rules. And if you haven't worked that muscle of being able to like, all right, what are my current rules? What do I want my rules to be? Who am I? Like Dr. Ritter was saying, like, if you don't take the time to assess that, you're going to start playing by other people's rules and find that they don't work very well for you, or you're just as miserable as you were when you were in corporate and the reason you left in the first place.
If you're lucky, you'll find that they didn't work very well. If you're unlucky, they'll not work and you won't see it.
Spending time defining words. If you're a business owner and haven't spent time defining what success means for yourself, you're in big trouble.
Yes, but speaking of words, I also think that we have preconceived notions of franchises. Typically, when we think of a franchise, we think of something like McDonald's. And one of the reasons McDonald's is so successful is because they have McDonald's University, so that every McDonald's that you go to, whether it's in Long Beach, California, whether it's in Chicago, whether anywhere in the world, the McDonald's burger tastes exactly the same. The McDonald's fries taste exactly the same. So if I purchase into a McDonald's franchise and my McDonald's franchise is set up on the corner, I just expect all the customers to come to me because it's McDonald's. But when you have other type of franchises, what you're given is the rule book. You're giving the guides, but you still have to go out there because people are not coming to your quote unquote McDonald's. Correct, Laura?
Yeah, it definitely is. And, franchising is, McDonald's controls a lot. McDonald's is actually a giant real estate company who happens to sell hamburgers and food. They own the land and you build the building on top of their land. You buy all their food from them. You follow their process, their pricing, their uniforms, everything. So everything is controlled from A to Z, and that's why they're successful. So that's the scary part is you want to get franchisees that have that mindset. I'm going to go in and I'm going to adopt the system because it clearly works and I'm going to replicate it. It's when you get these guys that think they're smarter than the system and they want to kind of go off on their own and they ruin the brand for other people. So that's what you have to be careful from when you're operating a franchise system.
Mm-hmm. So we are coming down to the end of the show, but I wanted to ask you another quick question, Laura, because I think for me, even when I wrote my book, Signs You Might Be an Entrepreneur, How to Discover the Entrepreneur in You, one of the aspects I focused on was franchising. And to me, franchising is like the top of the list. You know, you have the entrepreneur, actually you have, I won't put the employee down there, but you have the entrepreneur, the business owner, and at some point you expect to replicate yourself in a franchise. What are some basic tips, suggestions, or recommendations that you can give any entrepreneur or business owner who is considering franchising?
Franchising their business or buying into a franchise?
Franchising their business.
I've made a ton of mistakes on that side. So I would say if you're thinking about franchising your business, first of all, you want to look and see, is your business easily duplicated? Can if you write the recipe, can someone else follow it? Number two, I would definitely either hire or contact other franchisors or people that have been franchisors. You want to stay away from those consulting guru groups that simply have formed companies, but they've never really been in those shoes. Because I'm telling you, it is very different being a franchisor than it is maybe working on the sales side of a franchise system or the financial side of it. So you want to talk to somebody who's been in those shoes, and preferably if you're a service-based business, you want to talk to a service-based business because there is no similarities between my system and McDonald's. Very, very different. Food distribution and real estate is completely different. So I would definitely say those two things are what I should have done and I did not do correctly.
Okay, well, we learned from you. Karen, back to your 14-day challenge. Where can people, I know you mentioned your website, but what do people do during the 14 days?
For sure. So here's the thing. There's a little bit of consistency. So we essentially meet 10 a.m. every day in a Facebook group. So once you join the 14-day challenge, as I shared on speakconfident.com, they show up every day at 10 o'clock. I only ask them to commit 15 minutes and we have a conversation and I share a little bit of a lesson to really help people redefine what it means to be confident. And I'll say it again, confidence is not an emotion. It's an attitude and a behavior that you can control. And we have our 10 to 15 minute session. And at the end of the session, I give them a challenge and they show up in the group. and they do the challenge and they report back on it. And we troubleshoot in between, and the community that's been created is so powerful and so strong. And for me, it's really creating a movement around confidence disruption, helping people reclaim their confidence, because we were born confident. You know, there's no unconfident two-year-old until they're told yes.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Until you're told no. Then you know, you go to school and work and they tell you, nope, we don't want to hear it. We want it this way. And everyone shared about, you know, systems and things like that. So that's where they can find it. And it's just, it's been so powerful for people. And I want to touch on one thing. You talked about creativity for entrepreneurs in these times. And for us, our businesses have not shifted so much. But one of the conversations I am having with clients right now is, when you think about being creative and continuing to support your clients and bring in revenue, because it is what it is, one of the things you should, a couple of tips that I share with them is, one, really reach out to your past clients and see if you can support, or now's the time to help them amp up something they were going to do with you. So reach out to new clients. And the other piece is really look at formalizing anything you would have done on maybe a service based in a self-service format. So what can you create that people can use at home on their own without the need of you or I? You know, on the other side of my business, I show entrepreneurs how to get booked and paid to speak. And people believe that the speaking industry is dead. That's a belief. It's not. It's just transitioned and pivoted. Mm-hmm. So it's really looking at, if you're a keynote speaker and traveling the world speaking, yeah, you got it. There's no more face-to-face events. However, there's a lot of online events. Mm-hmm. However, there's a lot of organizations, companies who are still doing their work day to day, but virtually, and they still need training. So it's really being creative and adapting to what's happening.
Here we are speaking.
You got it.
Yeah, there's a ton of companies that are struggling with this transition. It's a huge opportunity for people to maybe pivot their message just a little bit to align with what people are needing right now. I mean, I have a challenge as well. So for the past 30 days, we're hosting a How Not to Lose Your Shit and Other Mindfulness Tools challenge. We have had 200 people sign up. We had 70 people on the last call. It's still open. You guys can join at any time. So anyone listening, if they'd like to you know, join this community and learn some tools, get some free eBooks and have a Facebook community to support, we're here for that too.
Okay, but I need the top tip, Dr. Ritter, on how not to lose your shit.
Well, so the challenge really revolves around 11 different areas of well-being. And it really, it's just about structuring your day to kind of honor each area of well-being in your life. And right now we're all just going through a new normal, as everyone's saying. We've kind of lost our structure. We've lost our routine. We've lost what really fills us up. So it's about being aware, bringing an awareness to those areas of well-being, and then actually taking action to fill it up. And so we're talking about mental, physical, social, relationship, professional, family, you know, you can keep going on. But they're basically just bringing that level of awareness and structure to your life. And my cat's about to join me. So she's about to come into the film. So she loves whenever I'm on camera. She avoided us this whole time. But really, if you want to learn more, more than happy to.
I want to know how not to lose my shit, Dr. Ritter. I didn't get that.
Well, no, it's about bringing in a level of awareness and honoring each area of your well-being in life. It's about not reacting.
I think that's the answer. Get a cat.
Well, so it's, you know, I think too often people live like with their environment, what's going on. So they react to their environment instead of living in their environment for themselves. And this is where live for yourself comes again. How can you say, this is what's going on in the world? This is a given. But I'm going to live for myself still and take action that aligns truly to who I am. And this is, my cat believes that too. She just does whatever the hell she wants to. And that means being in video.
I love it. You never know what's gonna happen. Lucas, you were saying something.
No lack of confidence in that cat.
she acts like a kitten. She's like 8 years old. She'll be using crutches, but you know, she just has fun. Her life hasn't changed.
That was beautiful. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I like to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to everyone who's watching the show live, as well as everyone who's watching the archives, and just really let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. So we're going to start with Valerie.
Thank you. And my internet's been a little iffy because everybody's using it, but you know. So I would just say, you know, stress is a normal part of life when you have more of it, like when you have circumstances that make things more stressful, that's a really great opportunity to look at what's working in your life and what's not, because stress, external stress, is going to magnify everything that isn't aligned in your life, everything that's not working. So rather than labeling it as bad and allowing it to kind of, that expands it, right? So to take a look at, well, what isn't working and what do I want to do about it? What power do I have? So what do you need to do to release some of that stress to, you know, is it deep breathing? Some people that's triggering, maybe it's moving your body. Maybe it is taking some time to journal or do some art or have a conversation with somebody you haven't talked to in a while and actually just allow yourself to vent. It's different for everybody. My quiz will help you identify what's going to be best for you. And then there's also a little bonus of what other people, like if you live with somebody who has a different stress response, kind of like a love language. So how they process stress may be different from you, and they may be playing off of each other. So if you can understand each other's, you can be more supportive to one another as you process that stress, and then take it that next step, stress release, to then looking at what do I need to take care of myself? What might I want to shift in my life that's not working? And kind of allow it to be stair steps of growth and define what you want in your life and what's important to you. Because there's any number of opportunities available if you are willing to give yourself the space to look for them.
That's right. If you're willing to live for yourself, isn't that right, Dr. Ritter? Final words from you.
I'd say, you know, I think all of us have said this in various ways. It's about taking action, but too often, right, we don't feel safe enough to take action. So I'd say just before even doing all this like values exercise and trying to gain clarity on who you are, because that could seem kind of out of ability for some people without a coach, I'd say take the thing that you think you want to do that you're afraid of, and then break that down one step further. And so if it's start a website, it's like, you know, instead of actually create a website, it's find some place where you can purchase a website. Okay, you know, so what you're doing is you're taking your to-do and you're making it more manageable. And if that seems too much for you, you know, go to read an article about making websites. And if that seems too much for you to do, make a Facebook post asking people if they've ever made websites. So keep going down, keep going deeper until you get to a task that seems manageable, so you actually can take some action on it. Because once you start taking action, no matter how small that is, you're going to build momentum and be able to take even more steps further.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it starts with confidence, right, Karen?
Absolutely. My parting words to everyone would be this, is right now, for a lot of people, they may feel powerless and unsure of what's happening with themselves. And here's what I often say is to refind your strength and refind your power, there's one thing you need to do, and it's really and truly focus on what you can control. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is literally take your pen, and I know a few of us shared it here, write it down on a piece of paper, because in times where we might deem uncertain, we might look at everything that nothing is in our control. So write it down and look at what is in your control and find mm-hmm. some power in that and make choices around those things, because it will bring back some normalcy to who you are as an individual that affects your ability to show up. And that's where that confidence comes in. But the confidence piece is really focus on what you can control, because there are pieces of your life right now that you are in full control of. But we have to be intentional with it, and we actually have to see it as well. So that's the biggest thing.
Yes. Or we could just run away with Lucas.
We could.
To the forest.
Yes. To the forest.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about some little actions that we can take. That we can take right now that will change the way that we approach the day today. And I wrote an article, you can find it on medium.com/@LukeRoot, LUCROOT, about how to work from home. And it's a newbie to pro guide. So it has some very manageable, simple steps that people can take right now to build their day so that they have success from morning till evening. And if you want to start a business, you can build that right into the routines that you're using to run the day. And then for those of you that have already built some of your routines, this has sort of the progression built into the article so that you can see where it might look where taking this work from home routine approach might arrive after you've been doing it for a while. So use routines, start small, write pen to paper, do what you can right now to be in control of your day.
I love it. Final words from you, Laura.
You know, I'm hearing from a lot of people that have been laid off, and you know, people are just in a really depressed state with a lot of anxiety. And you know, I always say things don't happen to you; they happen for you. So you need to step back, and you really need to look at this. This is an opportunity. The world is shifting you in a direction that you're supposed to be going. So you need to really sit back and look at what do you really want to do, because you've probably just been robotic in your job for the last, you know, 10, 15 years. This is an opportunity for you to learn from what's going on in the world right now and pivot towards where you're supposed to be going. And then maybe you'll find a better destiny. That's all what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
I definitely agree. Find a better destiny. That's what we're here, all here to do. I want to thank all our guests for being here on Monday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I definitely appreciate you. I want to thank everyone who tuned in live, who has shared this video, for your support, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives. We appreciate your support and for joining us every morning, weekdays at 8 a.m. If you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at ashsharifa.com. Until tomorrow, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.